Our scripture this morning appears in each of the Gospels, except for the Gospel of John. It appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is a familiar enough story. The version that we'll read today is actually Mark's version. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had endured much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his cloak, I will be made well." And immediately her flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. But immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloak?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. And so the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." Friends, this is the word of God. It can be trusted. I'm wondering this morning if you've ever had a brush with someone famous, some sort of brief encounter with someone well known. Dan just looked at Cindy. There's a story. We should just do open mic for this, I think, but we won't. You know, maybe it was a TV star on Nantucket getting ice cream, or that time you got stuck with the middle seat on a long flight only to discover you were, you know, sitting next to Jimmy the Greek, who used to be on TV. It happened to my dad. When she was a baby, Emily, who you saw a moment ago, she met Reege at the Glory Days Diner just up the street. And Reege was one of those people. Reege could not resist working a room or passing up an opportunity to riff off of a baby. And so when he asked Emily if she wanted to be a millionaire, the whole place apparently went wild. Alexander, of course, Alexander is the master at extracting some brief human moment from a celebrity. About 5 years ago, he had this particular stretch where it seemed like he was not only going to just about every show in New York, he was also routinely running into Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, it got to the point that, I don't mean to embarrass you, but even Alexander was a little bit like, it can't be easy to be someone like that, someone everybody knows, someone who the world rushes up to on a first-name basis as if they've run into an old friend, a regular visitor to their home, which, of course, so many people in the public eye are in some complicated way. If you're famous, some of the people who approach you probably do want something that you can't really provide, even if you wanted to. You know, how many times must it have happened to Reege that someone would say, "Well, I just happen to have a copy of my life story right here, both volumes, all 1,000 pages. Could you have Gelman get it to a publisher, maybe?" Or, you know, Dr. Oz, he's now running for Pennsylvania State Senate. How many times do you think he's somewhere on something in Pennsylvania and someone says, "I'm thinking about you for Senate and stuff, but really I have this mole on my back and my wife was hoping maybe you could just take a look"? It can't be easy. But I think most of us, even so, are not looking for some kind of moment like that. I think for most of us, it's just about finding that little human spark, right? That that little real moment in the presence of someone luminous, a glimpse of the person underneath it all. And sometimes we know, sometimes that can shine through. There's a story about the great Boston baseball player Jim Rice, a Hall of Famer. This is the one and only time I will give a flattering Red Sox anecdote from this pulpit. It's a Hall of Famer, a great player. But for many people, maybe the most famous moment of Jim Rice's career was a day game in August of 1982 when a foul ball hit a four-year-old boy in the stands near the first baseline. And Rice was not the batter, but it was immediately clear that that this was a bad hit. It was a day game, as I said, and even so, EMTs, the stretcher, you know, the whole thing that needs to be done. You know, it was not moments away, maybe in a way that it would be now. And the point, I guess, is that Rice, seeing that this four-year-old was in trouble, not hopping back up, not, you know, going like that or crying or any of that stuff, jumped up and he ran to the stands. And he picked up the boy. Those of you who studied art history will remember, you know, the sort of the Michelangelo Pietà, the sort of the lifting of the body. And Jim Rice carried him back to the dugout so the team doctors could work on him immediately. And in this case, that was very important that he had done this. In this case, that quick intervention may well have saved the boy's life. Well, nobody would have thought to expect or ask for a ball player in a game sitting in the dugout to intervene in a situation like that. But something so powerfully, so wonderfully, so tenderly human took over. In that moment, then, for this very accomplished man, something human and yet so sacred, so holy, seemed as if it somehow shined through. Our gospel this week is about the sick woman in the crowd who sees Jesus and reaches out just to brush the fringe of his cloak, convinced that just to do that will be enough to heal her. Quite literally, it is a kind of brush with celebrity that she hopes for. Just a brush, though. Nothing more than that. And there's a modesty to it, a humility that is hard to miss. She's heard about Jesus. She's found her way somehow into this enormous crowd that has come out to see him. But she's very different from some of the other folks who might have been in that crowd, some of those other folks who might have been sort of hoping for their moment. What she wants isn't even that big. And yet, she's not there to just take in the scene, to enjoy being dazzled, to watch Jesus walk the red carpet or whatever. It's more personal for her. And yet, who is she to claim anyone's attention, to ask for anyone's care? Women at the time of Jesus had a very particular status in the ancient world, not only in Jewish civilization, but throughout the Mediterranean. They were, in many, many ways, people who were not looked to, not seen. To understand a woman was not something that a man had any particular obligation to do. In fact, in a legal proceeding, a woman could not even give testimony. She did not have that kind of position. Her personhood was understood to be different, to be provisional in some way. And on top of that sort of ontological and legal and religious status for this woman, she is a sick woman. And sickness at that time was understood as reflecting sin. It was seen as a withholding of divine protection, which God being good, God being God, would only happen if there was some flaw that was anathema to God. Who was she to ask for anyone's care? She might not have been welcome even within the bounds of her own home village, as was true of so many of the people Jesus healed. And so her sickness may well have come with a further burden of loneliness and invisibility. You know, at first, maybe the other women in her town would have stopped by, bring a little something to share, give her a nod when they encountered her on one of her rarer and rarer visits within the gates of the town. But after a while, you know, she just was not one of them anymore. That happens. People fade away. Most folks probably did not wish her ill. Whatever her affliction was supposed to signify, that was just part of what the consequences were. But 12 years, as we know, that's a long time. It's a long time. In our world, 12 years is long enough to go from 2 plus 2 to calculus. And yet the point is, this woman has not been able to go anywhere. She's not been able to start a new chapter, to turn over a new leaf, to find a new community. For all this time, her only job has been to fade away. And yet there she is. There she is in this crowd, hidden in plain sight. Now, what the story doesn't tell you as we've read it today is that Jesus has just encountered a local celebrity, the president of the synagogue, who has asked him to heal his daughter, who is at home and ill. This important local leader throws himself before Jesus in front of this whole crowd, in front of all the cameras, begging Jesus to come and help his little girl. And it's at just that moment when he's asked that, and Jesus has paused ever so slightly as the grief-stricken father that everyone wants to see rushes forward. It's then that the woman reaches out just to brush the fringes of Jesus's cloak. I don't know if it's hope or a Hail Mary pass that makes her do it. But you know, it's been said, when you ain't got nothing, you've got nothing to lose, and she has nothing to lose. And so she reaches out in hope, in fear, in desperation. And what happens? What comes of her brush with greatness? Immediately, we're told, she knows. She knows that she is well. But it goes actually even beyond that, because something more holy than just her healing shines through. Because it isn't just the magical property of Jesus' body transferring some of that goodness to hers
That's way too narrow a meaning for this moment. The point is what she encounters in Jesus is his kindness, his compassion. The point is that he's maybe the first man she's seen in 12 years who didn't avert his eyes and run the other way. And so in this unexpected shared moment between them, the woman encounters the holy power of genuine tenderness. Whoever she thought Jesus was, whatever his fame represented to her, however it was that she got herself there, what she found was someone real. The face of God that could look on her and smile. We find it so amazing when something genuine manages to break through. With everything we have to do and everywhere we have to be, who has the bandwidth to try to be real? And the loftier the person, the more remarkable their humanity, their simple humanity can seem to us. Maybe it's not so simple to be human. Maybe to be human, to be kind, to look on the humanity of other people and acknowledge it is a holier enterprise than we tend to acknowledge. It takes something to see vulnerability and to reach out rather than recoil. And it takes something further still to show our own vulnerability in a world so enamored of what passes for strength or what seems like power. But isn't this what we long to see? Isn't this who we know we're called to be? What if kindness wasn't something that just broke through now and again, but was just how things were, what we were like? What if it was just part of how we saw and responded to in one another? Jesus knew how much we long for it. He saw it in the eyes of this woman, in the eyes of a desperate father, and even in the eyes of Pontius Pilate on the night before his own death. And what Jesus came to tell us was how much God longs for such a people, and how much God pines for such a world. Jesus came to tell us that we need to listen to that longing and to find strength in it, the strength to reach out, the strength to keep on working, the strength to stand up again. Every now and again, you know, we have one of those encounters when we get a glimpse of something deeper that sits at the heart of life. Watch for it. Jesus says. Listen to it, Jesus says. It is the sign of the faith that will make you well and redeem all creation for all people. Amen.